Are you taking action in your life consistent with desired outcomes? Personal accountability is the key, making the most of ourselves and our contributions to be of greater service to others, the ability to be counted on. Impact Corporation is dedicated to helping individuals and organizations around the globe improve performance through accountability for business results. Learn about Impact's consulting, training, and coaching products at impactcorp.com, impactcorp.com, or call 310-275-0055. Impact Corporation, transformation you can count on. 310-275-0055.
Welcome back to Circles of Change. In the spirit of the holiday, it's my pleasure, as always, to welcome Mark Samuel for Impact Corporation on our line. Happy holiday, Mark.
Happy holidays, Zara.
Thank you. Are you enduring all the last-minute chucks and jibes and business and personal and all that at the same time?
It's amazing how much is going on this season.
I know. And, you know, to try to take a deep breath, and because people say, well, are you ready for the holiday? And you kind of look at them like, I'll get there. It's coming at me whether I'm ready or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's raining here in Los Angeles, California.
Great. So it'll be coming our way then, just a few hours or who knows when. Well, Mark, we wanted to continue, of course, on this track of giving people additional insight on accountability, meaning the idea of our being able to count on ourselves and count on others, and link it with the topic of cooperation.
Yes. I think this is such a key issue. And I'll tell you, we've talked in previous shows about one of the major addictions, which is control.
And
I think there's a second addiction, and that is nothing's good enough.
Mm.
And it's either I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, I need more, I need to rise to that next level of excellence. And none of that's bad in and of itself, but there is an addictive quality about it where we can't be satisfied with the way things are as they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that regard, then it's, you know, even when we achieve our goals and even when we achieve our dreams and even when things are actually going pretty well, there's a level of dissatisfaction that we can still feel. And the question is, do I need to have that level of dissatisfaction to grow to my next level? Is that really the impetus for me to improve myself? Or can I actually feel satisfied with the way things are and accept the way things are and cooperate with the way things are and feel fully, you know, at peace and joyful and still want to improve myself?
So you're saying this idea of the negative motivator, in other words, which quite often does move people, is, oh, I missed it by just that much. And so that spurs you then to do something different to, again, hit it. But you're saying there's a piece of that that can be underlying dangerous. In other words,
To me, it's critically dangerous, and I'm speaking from experience on this one because I grew up with a mantra of succeed through struggle, succeed because I'm not enough, and work harder and develop myself because I'm not enough. And the problem with that is it's a never ending cycle of dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
What I've come to learn and grow into, and I say it's a growing into because it wasn't enough to just learn it as a concept. There was a bit of time that it took to embody it, but now my quality of life has changed so much because I'm much more willing to accept the way things are and know that that's just fine and good enough, and I'm taking care of really well and still have goals for improvement and, you know, making more money and, you know, having a better business and whatever that is. But it's not driven from a dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's just driven from almost the level of wanting to serve more.
You know, so, this almost goes back from the very first segment you and I did. And you talked about this idea of the spelling test when you were a kid.
Yes.
And then what would you see across the top of the spelling test?
Yep.
Minus 10. It never, in some situations, it's ever said 90. And then you even said, and the time that you got 100%, but what did the teacher put? A zero, minus zero with a circle around it. So that's this deficit thing. So what you're really kind of easing us into is this idea of, first off, appreciative situations as opposed to, oh, whew, got through that one. But the spelling test analogy is so profound. It's right on the money.
Yes, and really having that, and it goes back to something we talked about before, having that sense of gratitude that things are as good as they are. I mean, truly, when you, you know, wake up every day, when you think about anyone who's listening to this show, the level of abundance that already exists because of the fact that we don't live in some other country under some other regime, under famine, under, you know, bad conditions of weather, whatever that is, I mean, we can always be thankful, and that to me is part of the acceptance, and that's what then leads to cooperation. Because to me then, what happens is instead of getting frustrated that things aren't good enough the way they are, we begin to cooperate with the way things are showing up, and all of a sudden there's a level of peace that comes over, and there's a level of joy that comes over us. And I, you know, I was sharing this with you, in an email, but it just happened to me, just the other day, where I was coming home from Houston, and, you know, I was, got to the airport at 2 o'clock, my flight's at 7, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm gonna get on an early, you know, an earlier flight.
Yep.
Well, all the planes were full. Then I get in line at the, at security, and I don't know that I've ever seen so many people going into security ever in my entire life in any airport anywhere. It was like thousands of people. I'm going, oh my gosh. And then I just said, you know, I've got, I'm okay. I'm fine. Let's just enjoy it. And boy, I just had so much grace and joy, and, you know, it was almost fun to be in line just because I didn't have any pressure of thinking I should be somewhere else. And I do think that that level of cooperation is almost becomes the impetus for change. You know, it's like, let me cooperate with the way things are and let's see what then shows up magically, rather than me get all uptight and then things are showing up magically but I don't see them or catch them, or I can't even take the opportunity because I'm so into my anxiety, my worry, my frustration, my upset, my resistance.
Well, in fact, we all always say that, you know, that that whole term of worry is your imagination working on overtime.
Yes. Yes. And I think worry is, and I also think frustration is.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, because whatever you're frustrated about is based on things should be different than they are. That I had an expectation of how it should go. It's not going that way. Therefore, I'm now frustrated. And I think there's a whole level of, can I just take a breath? I'm okay. In this very moment, everything is just fine. Now, how do I cooperate with what is showing up? And let's see where the opportunities lie. And all of a sudden, there's an openness, there's creativity that can show up. And if nothing else, you know, you're still in line. That's not going to change. Do I have it as a good experience, or do I have it as a negative experience?
Well, now let's
quality of life.
Let's do continue with the story, though. And that was, you got all the way up to the TSA guy with your your driver's license and what you thought was your boarding pass. You take it from here.
I ended up printing my itinerary instead of printing my boarding pass. So he says, oh, sorry, you now have to go back to the ticket counter to get your ticket and go get in line again. And I'm just like, wow. And at first I had that pinch, you know, like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened, you know, and all the frustration, this, you know, again, that definition, this isn't good enough, this shouldn't have happened to me, you know, and then whatever self-judgment I go into with that. And then all of a sudden I just relaxed. I said, you know, that'll be okay. I'm lucky. I have the time to get to my plane. I don't have to fret. Why am I fretting about this? Okay, I'll just get in line. And then guess what happened?
What happened?
They let me in early.
He did.
So they recognized me and said, oh, you don't have to wait in line. Come over here. We'll get you in right away.
Exactly right.
But I was doing it all with a smile on my face. I wasn't frustrated. I wasn't angry. Because if I was, I might have missed. They might have missed me.
Sure.
And not done it. So, you know, and then when you start to cooperate, other things begin to happen. Like one thing I noticed was they were actually handling the numbers of people really well. So I went over and acknowledged the TSA people, saying, you know, I always, you know, I get frustrated when things go slow, but I'm going to acknowledge you when things go really well. And I think it, you know, they were almost in shock that anyone was saying anything positive.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because there's so much tension and stress on travel this time of year anyways, but then with the layers of security warranted, that you can't imagine too many people say, thanks, you're doing a great job.
That's right. And to me, that's what opportunities show up when we go into cooperation, because a joyfulness comes, a gratitude comes, and all of a sudden we see opportunities to serve others, to acknowledge others. And now we're, you know, that to me is really what Christmas is about. It's like, how do we spread that level of joy, that level of loving and care? You can't do it from a place of frustration, worry, things aren't good enough. You do it from a place of, well, I'm grateful for what I have. I'm going to cooperate with how things show up. I'm going to do the best I can. You know, and it's around the simple things. Like, I know people are going to be going out shopping, and how many times around the parking lot before we find a parking place?
Right.
But I'll tell you what, if you do it with cooperation and acceptance, you'll probably have a much more intuitive hit as to where that parking spot is going to open up. And then just notice how when you get your spot that opens up, how then all of a sudden two or three other spots open up for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a whole different. And again, what we're talking about here is a quality of life, because we always talk about needing things to have a high quality of life. And I'm saying, no, what happens if we just create the quality of life with how things are showing up in our life just as they are? And I know there's exceptions of, you know, like people might say, well, yeah, but if someone just took ill or that. Yeah, I understand that those are not happy moments. And, you know, there's things to deal with in life that you just, you know, that are pretty hard to deal with or hard to bear. But I'm talking about just on the normal day-to-day things, if we can just, you know, almost create a bank account of just cooperation and acceptance and joy and gratitude, we might see a major shift. I know I've seen a huge shift in how my life is without spending more money, without having any more things, without striving for the next level of excellence or trying to improve myself, just accepting things the way they are and accepting my own humanness, boy, and cooperating with that, all of a sudden it's, wow, I am more joyful and more grateful than I ever have. And this is a new experience for me, so that's why I really appreciate being able to share it.
I think, you know, we often say, you know, if I would have linked to the, in absence of our conversation, let's say you were writing an article about accountability and cooperation, I really think people's natural gravitation would be towards, well, this is about cooperating with other people. This is how we get along. This is how we partner. This is how we collaborate on a project, etc. But your words here is in a much, much bigger venue. This is about cooperating with the environment, or, you know, right, being in step with it, if not, quite frankly, by how we show up creating it.
Absolutely. Well, and then, and I'm glad you raised that, is that then let's extend it to cooperating with other people. Like, why does it have to go my way?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just say, you know what? You know, I'm going to make my partner or my spouse's style and approach and desire more important today. And not after giving up on me, but just simply saying, you know, I'm coming from such a place of strength, I can just cooperate and go with your flow rather than have you go with my flow. Like, you know, and it's really funny. If you're the one who's used to making decisions, like, you know what, why don't you make the decisions today? And I'll
that's a big
you.
One. And then people do a double take, like, are you not feeling well? Like, what happened here?
Exactly.
Like, is this a setup? You know, is there something else coming around the corner? And you're like, no, you take care. Well, you know, it's funny, and I'm sure we all feel at this time of year, the amount of silly, irate phone calls I've been getting recently. I was traveling this week and neglected to check my remote system. So I was gone for 2 days, okay? 2 days. And I came back, listened to the first message, you know, please give us a call about XYZ. The next day, the call started with, if you aren't going to be professional and get back to us right away, then we'll have to do, and I'm thinking, whoa, this was 24 hours.
Yeah.
24 hours. And you're thinking, okay, now I think part of the trap might be is everybody thinks everybody's walking around with a BlackBerry and instant connectivity to all the other electronic leashes that we have out there. But, you know, there are times we're not. And for this person literally jumped off the cliff through the phone to me. And I'm thinking, okay, now how am I going to return this one? You know, and it was, I very graciously, with a thank you email, because I thought, I don't know what I want to do it. Thank you so much for bringing it to our attention about XYZ. We've been out of town. And so you kind of thought, and I didn't want to do a dig, but, you know, I hope they get the point that that was not helpful.
Well, you know, and to me there's really an interesting side to this as well, and that is, did anyone think to care about you in the process?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you were in the hospital and couldn't get back. But did anyone say, you know, I noticed that you didn't call back, and that's unlike you, are you okay?
Yeah, and in fact, that was indeed what had happened, and I have found that to happen in other situations, that indeed there was something going on, that you didn't give someone the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, I had like three of those instances hit me within the same day. And you're thinking, okay, to your point, okay, now how do I get in that flow of cooperation? And if anything, just, you know, put them on pause or say, well, I'm not going to return that call until after the first of the year. Well, that's not helpful for me.
Right. Exactly. And it's just, you know, I think, again, cooperation is also understanding that we have to, you know, there's a cooperation in the understanding that really it was that person's frustration or stress, or maybe someone was pressuring them, so they ended up pressuring you, and it's a transfer of stress, basically, that people do with each other. And at any point, we can just call the game and just say, you know, I'm not buying into it.
You know, the other piece of it, Mark, you mentioned earlier, and you would use the word expectation. And, of
yes.
course, that's always something your whole a double loop model, I call it your figure eight model about accountability, is to know that it's the human condition that we're going to make mistakes, that we're going to have to revisit things, and we're going to have to reframe our expectations. So that's one. Talk to us about that and that link to cooperation with
what is. And I think that here's the difference, because we do want to have goals. We do want to have, let's say, performance expectations or standards, etc. The question is where's the level of attachment that determines whether it's an expectation or a standard or a goal? Because as soon as we set ourselves up with expectations, you can be sure that you're going to get disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that attachment to the expectation that then causes us to get angry when someone doesn't live up to it. But at the same time, we obviously want to have clear intentions for improvement. We want to have goals. We want to have, you know, desires and dreams that we want to accomplish. And so we set out to do that. Cooperation is so critical, because we never know the timing of actualizing a goal or a standard or a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't control the timing. Like, I couldn't tell you when it was that I was going to be able to embody this notion of cooperation to have a higher quality of life. It's been a concept for years for me that I knew mentally, but I didn't embody it yet. And so it's like really working it. And we've shared this before. It's like, you know, you've got a glass or a bottle with soap suds in it. You know, how long does it take to rinse those soap suds out?
Mm-hmm.
It takes as long as it takes. and the 1 minute before, you know, the 1 second before, the one rinse before, you've still got suds. And then the very next rinse, you've got no suds, and you wonder, well, how did that happen?
Yeah, and you experiment.
Know, why then, and why not before, and why
right.
not later?
And you
know?
You experiment with the temperature of the water and how much you shake it or not shake it. And,
right.
And still, you know, it goes back to your comment about those two addictions. Now that we've added, the first one is control, and the other one, nothing is good enough.
Yeah, and then the question is, why can't I enjoy rinsing out the bottle? Rather than being frustrated, how come it's not happening faster? Because that's the pressure we all continue to put on ourselves. How come I'm not learning faster? How come I'm not growing faster? How come I'm not making more money faster? And there's such an element of time when, in fact, you know, that's where the expectation becomes unhealthy. It's okay to have the goal of wanting more money. It's okay to have the goal of growing and learning. But when we put that extra notion of on my time, on my schedule, that's when we set ourselves up for failure, rather than just cooperating with the fact that we're doing the best we can and we're growing in the way we're growing, and at some point it's going to change.
Well, I have this vision now that the folks from TSA are going to pick up on this podcast and provide it in a little audio set for people once they enter the line with the thousands at the Houston airport, Mark.
Yeah.
No, really. I mean, you think about it. This is truly a novel thought. I mean, for anyone that when you do get in those situations, whether it be the airport or other lines you wait in or other circumstances where it's really not yours to guide change, but to say, okay, I'm here for the ride. I'm going to take it for what it is. And, oh, by the way, if I just open my eyes, there's probably a variety of other experiences I could enjoy. I recall a long time ago, I traveled a lot from the Midwest out to your neck of the woods to Los Angeles, probably twice a month. And at one juncture, instead of being this being a business trip, I decided to take a vacation of all things. And I noticed just myself, I packed my suitcase differently. I sat in the airport waiting in a different way. I wasn't head down reading papers or rifling through things in anticipation of work. Well, lo and behold, it was announced suddenly the flight was going to be delayed. And I watched how everyone around me, the stress, the tension, jumping to the phone, because this predates days of BlackBerry and the like. And I was sitting there just having a grand old time saying, I'm on vacation. It doesn't matter if I'm a half an hour late. No big deal. So this thought of, oh, what would it be like if I could adopt that a little bit more? But the interesting part was this. I immediately was evaluating all these people around me saying, man, are they ever acting like idiots? And then it just dawned on me. A week before, I was in the same situation, and I was doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, and it reminds me of, I don't know if you ever saw that movie, What About Bob, which to me was one of the funniest movies, and one of the concepts was take a vacation from your worries.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you took an actual vacation, and you functioned differently, and then why not just bring that mindset of vacation to our life in general? So that we can enjoy it.
Mark, so you said you feel this has been an idea that's kind of been gestating and nurturing and feeding inside of you for a long time, and that you just kind of struck onto it. Was it indeed this incident in the Houston airport, or what else triggered you to suddenly see all these pieces come together in such a profound way?
You know, I don't think it's been one thing. I think it's been many. You know, I think it's been a real gradual transition of focusing on the positive, focusing on gratitude, and then noticing how it starts to filter in my life differently. I'd love to say that it was this one thing and it all changed, but I focus on the positive, and there's there's one of my favorite quotes that I've had for years but never really adopted it, and that was, it's foolish to lose in your own fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
and so sometimes we imagine things to be so bad and terrible, it's all imagination, you know, because right in any moment we're here, we're fine, and everything's okay. So no matter what we had imagined before as the most dreadful, awful situation that we didn't think we could get through, in this moment today, we already got through it. And how many hundreds of times has that, not thousands of times, if that happened. So I think it's really just been a gradual focus on positive, joyful gratitude and acceptance as much as possible that has enabled this to actually sink in.
And then when you sit back and reflect the experiences you've had throughout your own life, let alone how you've coached countless teams and executives around the world in various project or organizational challenges, I suspect this is going to provide a big shift in how you move forward with your business.
Oh, absolutely. And then the only other thing I would say about this, and I think it really does bring up a spiritual concept, is that we're not alone.
Yeah.
And is there, you know, a trust or a faith in spirit to be there with us, partnering with us, and saying, you know what, God's plan might be just better than mine.
surprise, right?
Yeah, well, you know, and it seems to have always turned out that way. I mean, even the other day, I had, you know, I was, yesterday, in fact, I was expecting to have a call with a potential new client. It was going to be a big thing. And they called that morning to say, you know, we can't meet today. Let's put it off till January. And instead of having that normal reaction of, oh, no, and, you know, now we're delayed, and I was really hoping, I said, oh, it must be better in January than now. I'm sure glad they changed it.
I had the exact same thing happen to me. In fact, I was scheduled to actually fly out to visit with them, and instead I diverted my flight to go do something different that was as equally, if not more, fulfilling for me, and just trusting that, okay, it's not on my time anyways. It's better meant to happen sometime in the future.
Yeah, and that gets back to what I think another kind of disease of the human being is, we pretend to know that which we don't know.
Yes.
You know, it's like we just make it up. We think that this is better when we really don't know. And why not assume that whatever doesn't go our way is actually there to support us? Like, maybe if I'm caught in traffic, it's to prevent me getting into an accident.
You got it. That's exactly right. Well, Mark Samuel from the Impact Corporation, as always, thanks for all your contributions this year. We won't catch up to you until January 1st, where I know we'll have fun talking about intentions as opposed to resolutions like we like to do. But in the meantime, you have the happiest of holiday weeks.
Thanks, Zara. Happy holidays to you and everyone else.
You bet.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.